Hey, beautiful. This is Aminata Soul Plant Walker Firewoman, and I am the host of the Mother Tree Network, rooted in love, standing for justice. Happy Kwanzaa, everybody. It's me, Aminata Soul Plant Walker Firewoman, and welcome to our Kwanzaa episode, which is going to focus on the fifth principle of Kwanzaa, Nia. Nia means purpose, and it's from the Kiswahili language. I am so much about purpose. 2023 is all about staying aligned with my life purpose and inviting people I love, people who are around me, to really hone in on their life purpose and to be able to see delusions, the narratives, the thoughts, the beliefs that we have that keep us deluded and away from our life purpose or make us lose energy. I was talking to my daughter, Makeda, who interviews me on this episode. She just turned 21, and we have a fabulous conversation about life purpose. And one of the things I said to her about delusions when we were riding in the car together, it's like if you're riding along, you know, in your boat, on a river, you're with the current, it's taking you in the right direction, but then there's some kind of little whirlpool situation and you get pulled over into the whirlpool. And so you're really expending a lot of energy going round and around this little whirlpool until you realize, wait a minute, I'm just in this whirlpool. I need to go back to the main current because that is taking me in the direction and to have the experiences that I'm really here for. Whereas this whirlpool, this is where I'm expending a lot of energy, but I'm not getting much from it. So anyway, I encourage you to sink into your own life purpose. We talk a lot about a book called The Healing Wisdom of Africa by Maladoma Patrice Somme during this episode. I highly recommend it to you. And one of the things I would love to do, and please let me know if you're interested in this, I would love to create some kind of container where queens, you know, women who... and women identify beings who are in a mature phase of our lives, and we're still very active in the world, but where we're at this point where we're like, you know, we're cresting in terms of external work, sacred work in the world. I love to help us to just get back on purpose, you know, get out of those little eddies and those whirlpools that we get stuck in and be like, oh yeah, right, back to my purpose. One thing I want to say about those eddies and those whirlpools that we get stuck in, by the way, is that they tend to be emotional. They tend to be old wounds that that get triggered and that we then kind of hang around in and stay in the pain of. So we really do need, as Maladoma Somme says, we really do need nature, we need community, and we need ritual to help us remember our life purpose and to continually get back on track. All right, enough said. Love you. See you on the other side.
Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Amanda Kemp, Aminata Soul Plant Walker Firewoman, and I am here with one of my favorite co-hosts of all time, who is Miss Makeda. That's right. She is my daughter that you've heard me mention many times, I'm sure. So Makeda and I are going to have a conversation today about Kwanzaa. And how you feel about that, Makeda?
I feel really excited to educate people and to be educated.
All right, good. Yeah. So today, the day we're recording this, is the fifth day of Kwanzaa.
Nia?
Yes. Perfect. It is Nia, and Nia means purpose. And so we're going to have a conversation a little bit about Kwanzaa, but a lot about life purpose.
That sounds awesome. Let's get into it. Okay, Mom. So what's your favorite part about Kwanzaa?
Aw, I actually really do like Kwanzaa. I didn't grow up celebrating Kwanzaa, but when I was in college, that's when I was introduced to it for the first time. And so I've really helped to organize Kwanzaa events probably since I was 19. And now I'm 56. Yeah, so I'm very interested in Kwanzaa. I think my favorite part of it is people coming together, honestly. Mm. My favorite part is when we have real live Black people coming together, wearing their African garb, sporting their earrings, or whatever it is that they take pride in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then hopefully looking on each other with love. Mm. And sometimes, you know, people start off as strangers, but as a Kwanzaa event unfolds, then people get to be very, they open their hearts to each other. So I really like that feeling. Mm.
This sounds specific. Have you been to any Kwanzaa events this year?
As a matter of fact, last night we went to the Kwanzaa event at Christmas Addicts Community Center, which is a center started for Black people in Lancaster, I don't know, 100 years ago or something like that. So it's just a historic site. And it was just inspiring. I love seeing the multiple generations at Kwanzaa. I love seeing the elders. I don't know, something's happening to me where I just, I really do appreciate seeing older folks and just sitting next to them, you know, talking to them a little bit. I felt a sense of belonging last night, so that was nice. Mm,
I feel like they should do a documentary about, like, the elderization of Amanda Kemp, you know, as you slowly become an elder.
Oh. Not as I become elderized.
Yes.
Well, I think it's so important. In fact, eldering is was talked about last night at the Kwanzaa event. And the minister, Reverend Bailey, was talking about how eldering is mentioned in the Bible. He didn't really go into great detail, but before you begin a Kwanzaa, public Kwanzaa celebration, you ask the oldest person present, do we have your permission to begin? So in a lot of African traditions, older people are held in esteem because they are that much closer to the other side than those of us who are, like, you know, in the prime of our lives. Mm-hmm. Older people are thought to be closer to that wisdom from the ancestors.
Okay. Okay. So now that you're a bit older, has anything changed about the way you view Kwanzaa, especially since the last episode me and you did together, which was 2 years ago?
Yeah, I when we did that episode 2 years ago, I think I was feeling like, oh my gosh, I've fallen down. I should be doing more for Kwanzaa, especially because during a pandemic, we didn't have any public events to go to. So I really felt like I wasn't celebrating Kwanzaa. This year and last year, you know, we did observe Kwanzaa in our home. And this year, we're really taking the time to go deep on life purpose, you know, individuals within our family, including you, Makeda. Mm-hmm. So I feel very, I feel grounded and satisfied. Like, I'm taking what's important about Kwanzaa and utilizing that energy that's already pre-existing, but tapping into it to help me come to a clearer place about life purpose and family.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that as witnessing it firsthand, mm-hmm. seeing you in both forms of Kwanzaa celebration. But why are you so obsessed with discovering your life purpose?
You know, maybe because I have long felt a sense of purpose. So 2 years ago, I talked about being seven and thinking that, oh, I'm going to run for president, or I'm going to be president, because that seemed to be a really cool way to take care of a lot of people and to make sure good things happen. Like, I thought that was the most powerful role in the whole world, was to be president of the United States. So I've always been wanting to somehow make things better for large groups of people, not just for myself. And but life purpose is like directing that desire to make things better into some specifics. And I guess it's so important to me because I feel like when I don't know what my purpose is, then I really don't know what I should be saying yes to, what I should be saying no to, who I should be working more closely with. It's almost like there's so much stimulation and data and information. I get overwhelmed if I don't know, okay, what is my purpose? What about you? I mean, you used to talk a lot about finding your purpose.
Yes, I think that came more with my obsession of being stuck somewhere. That was my great fear for so long, of being stuck or having to rely on a job or a person that I don't like or that drains me in some way. And then, you know, having a job that I really didn't like, that I was working full time at, just propelled me even more to be like, this purpose stuff is no joke. If you don't pursue it while you have a chance to, you don't know where you end up or how you might be hindered. So for me, it's about freedom. Mm. I think, yeah, pursuing your purpose will give you freedom. But you said, so how has your life purpose changed over time? Because you talked about wanting to be president, and we know where you're at now.
It's true. I do not, so much do not want to be president or mayor or really any elected official position. Let me see. So, yeah, I think life purpose can change somewhat depending on what stage of life you're at. So let's say from 0 to 12, and you have a life purpose to create more peace. So how you choose to fulfill on that purpose may be in the way that a 12-year-old would, like with siblings or at school. Somehow you adapt your purpose to your maturity, what you know.
Wow.
Also, I think when you have kids, like when you are a mother or a father to kids, I think that your life purpose has to be in part expressed through those kids when they're very young, because they require so much of your attention. And if you see your life purpose in the left hand and your kids on the right hand, this is going to be a disaster, you know, because you're always going to feel like you're failing. Mm. And somehow if your kids are part of your life purpose, if you understand that in this stage of my life, I really need to put a whole bunch of energy, life force energy, into raising my children as part of this purpose, then I think that can create more satisfaction. I'm spending a long time talking about this because I think for me, I struggled with this.
I know you did.
I struggled with this for a while, not knowing how it all came together. Yeah, and I'm probably not the only person.
Yeah, and I definitely see you encouraging us now to follow our purposes. But over time, my brother and I have been shaped in such a way that our purposes are similar to yours in terms of healing and helping. We've been raised to value the same things. So it's nice, right?
That's true. That's a really good point.
Yeah, so we're not infants anymore, but we are out here moving with your purpose and turning it into our own.
Mm-hmm. I would say that our life purposes resonate and maybe feed each other.
Oh!
You know, me and my kids and Michael, my husband, I think there's a real resonance in our harmonizing and our purposes.
Hey, friend, are you afraid to say the wrong thing? I want you to think about your last conversation about racism or race, and let me ask you a couple questions. Did you feel like you were walking on eggshells? Did you feel frustrated because it seemed like nobody was listening to you? Did you feel guilty or ashamed because you didn't speak up? Well, then I want you to know you, of course, are not alone. And I actually have something for you. I've helped over 30,000 people to have heartfelt, authentic conversations about race. And I do it through a 5-step system that I call Transform Your Conversations About Racism. I want you to check it out. Just go to my website, drmandakemp.com, And click on the box that says Transform Your Conversations About Racism. I'll share with you more about the course there.
So, Mom, I got you. Well, actually, I received a recommendation from this book from your mentor, who you so lovingly shared with me, Nana Sakara, may she rest in peace. And this book is called The Healing Wisdom of Africa by Malidoma Somé. The part of the book that I liked a lot was about the different elements and people of different elements. I like the way that he categorizes people. It's very wholesome and connected. I just like that. I really do. But what did you like about the book? Because you really, I see you've taken notes. It's resonating over there.
Yeah, I love this book. So thank you for sharing it with me.
I'm glad.
Yeah. What I really liked about the book was how he talks about finding our life purpose through nature, through community and ritual. And as you know, I've just been reopening myself to having this deeper relationship with the natural world, like a true relationship, you know, communication, feelings, you know, reciprocity, making offerings. So that's kind of new to me. And Malidoma says that by reawakening our relationship with the natural world, we get the natural world's support in fulfilling on our purpose. Yeah, and we get to use ritual to help us harness subtle energies, again, to help us remember our purpose, but also to help us fulfill on it. So we're not out here by ourselves. You know, we have each other, and we have the natural world, and we have our ancestors and other energies on the other side that are all, you know, pulling for us. So that's what I really like about it. And that's part that you were talking about with the elements, how he says, according to your birth date or something, you are a different element. Mm-hmm. You want to say something about what those are? Or what element you are? Have you discovered that?
Well, two things I thought were interesting about it is he has five elements, and typically it's four. There's fire, water, and earth. And the two new elements he presents are mineral. And people of a mineral culture have lots of social skills. They're very drawn to connecting with others, and they hold on to the stories of others.
Mm. And then the fifth element is?
The fifth element is a naturalist or nature. And that's a person of, basically a person who is extremely authentic, has always been authentic, and knows when non-authenticity is being presented at them.
I think what's important about Malidoma's book is that he says that our life purpose is absolutely linked to some kind of genius or talent that we each come in with. And he says that everybody has one. The problem is that when we don't come from a culture that assumes that we have a life purpose and that is waiting to affirm it for us and point it out to us and help us to stay on track with it, we end up getting lost and feeling bad about ourselves.
Lost is really the word for it, too. Mm-hmm. Yes. I just saw something the other day. It said, the thing that makes you weird as a kid is what will make you great as an adult. And that just resonated so much with me. In America, our culture as kids is unfortunately conformity. I'm not sure why that happened, but it is. And kids learn roles, and we watch TV and we see how people are supposed to be. We watch our parents, and that's what we do. But that's why I work with kids honestly now, because I want to be a voice off to the side saying, I love that weird little shit you just did there. Keep doing that, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's so important not to suppress the quirks of kids.
Yes. And one of the things he said is that, you know, life purpose is not something that you're going to come to by going to a career counselor's office. So don't assume that your career is the same thing as your life purpose. Like the first thing is a life purpose. And then you're like, oh, okay, so which career is going to help me fulfill on this? Don't go at it from the career thing. So, you know, when he said everyone has a genius, a special gift mm-hmm. that the community needs. So it's also like when you're not fulfilled on your life purpose, then our family unit is not strong. Mm-hmm. Our soul group is weakened.
Yes.
And the more of us that are like aware of and aligned with our life purpose, then the stronger we can be with each other. Mm-hmm. And I also think, this ride we call life, I think it might be more fun or at least less anxious.
I am so on board with you. I actually had this thought yesterday, the same thing, that I don't think life is supposed to be this serious. I just, it kind of hit me in a download-like fashion. I forget what it was, but there's just so much capacity here for laughter, joking, joy, and there's so much resilience with humans. I think that's the other thing. We are so resilient that we almost hold on to our victimization sometimes for the sake of, I don't know what. But at this point, the way we are in humanity, I do think some people hold on to their trauma as medals. Mm. Not everybody, definitely. Mm. But it's becoming a trend that I see a bit in my generation. So that being said, I guess.
Mm. Well, I was going to pick up on the thing about the trauma and medals and, you know. Okay, so if we say that when we're on purpose, it can be more fun, this ride called life, which is a ride, it is not going to be straight. It's going to be up and down, bumpy, curves, you know, it's a ride. Mm-hmm. So where I get anxious is where I can't see around corners. I don't know how long is this low going to be low, you know, things like that, right?
You start to get closed in.
Yeah, I get closed in, and also I get like controlling, like mm-hmm. I'm not in my purpose. I'm actually in trying to, all of a sudden I'm all obsessed with surviving. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, you know, we were, Makeda and her brother and I, we were having a conversation yesterday. And one thing that struck me was like, so what is my payoff? Okay. So we were talking about delusions, right? So like what delusions get in the way of our life purpose? You know, what thoughts or beliefs, narratives am I constantly repeating to myself that drain, take my energy away, make me feel anxious, you know, like stop enjoying the ride, mm-hmm. basically. And what I saw was, for me, one of those delusions is thinking that somebody is better than me. So, you know, whether they are they're a better mother, or they're a better activist, or they're a better artist, or they're a better entrepreneur. Somehow this obsession with that somebody else is better. And I think that when we get into our delusions or get distracted by these kinds of thoughts, these what do you call them? These very cyclical, repetitive thoughts.
Yeah. That's a pretty much, I was going to say intrusive thoughts, but.
Yes. And they're intrusive too. They just come. I don't actually say, oh, come on over, thought. It intrudes. And so it takes me off purpose. So, but I do actually want to talk about how do you remember your purpose? How do you remember your life purpose? Because Maladoma says we came here with it.
My God, Mom.
Is that the $1,000 question?
It might just be, because for me, my whole belief system that I've been low-key following is that you either kind of catch it when you're a kid and you enhance it, or what do I always say? Use it or lose it, or you lost it because you didn't try to enhance it. But I know that is not true. Deep in my heart, I know it's obviously. There's anything that's been in you can be found again. I do believe that. So I think what I would personally recommend is journaling. Sounds like a cliche recommendation. And maybe because I feel like part of my purpose is writing, that resonates a bit more with me. Maybe for someone else, it's painting. But the key is expression. Ask yourself, how do I want to express myself first? And I think that is a good way to sort of lead you in the right direction. Some people are more talkers. Some people are more drawers. it goes, you know, all over.
Yeah.
Some people make origami to express themselves, you know?
Yeah.
And then with that, you can start to look at some patterns. I really like when I work with my hands. What is this? You know?
Mm.
I would just follow the breadcrumb trail.
Mm. You did say something. Makeda did tell me something about working with little kids, how you felt energized afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're also clues like that. What do you do or doing that really makes you feel high, like high energy, high vibration?
Yes. And what games are you playing with yourself too? Because I'm also very avoidant of events and work. I don't know why. It's introverted plus fatigue, I think. But so every day before I go to work with those kids, I feel tired. I feel like, oh God, another day at work. Here we go. But every day I leave and I feel the opposite, like a flip of a coin, smiley. I'm so glad I came. And that to me tells me, well, two things. Outside of that work, I'm not living in my purpose. Yes. But when I'm there, it delivers me into a new vibrational state, basically. So when I leave that state, it stays with me. I think maybe after I leave there, I should try to follow my gut and do something else before I go home. I think that would be really good for me. It might be a bit like magnetism, you know, might magnetize something towards me.
Yes.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that Maladoma says is, Maladoma Somme, who has recently passed away, he's about a year now, ancestor. One of the things he said is that community, you need community to confirm your gifts.
Oh.
So it's not a solo thing. It's something that you can ask people about. And like just like I said to Makeda, remember you said that at when you went to your job working with kids, your energy shifted. Mm-hmm. That's what a community can do. It can just reaffirm to you. Oh, go ahead.
I also just remembered something. People, if you really want a jump-off point somewhere to start, there is this Japanese concept called the Ikigai, and it is so cool. So it's a quiz. You give them information about you, and they take a look at what you love, what the world needs, what you can be paid for, and what you're good at. Puts it in a big Venn diagram, and in between those four categories, it will help you find your passion, your mission, your vocation. And then at the very end, recommended professions, which I love because that really, it sets it up in a way that you can see purpose and career really are different. Mm-hmm. I believe mine was talking about, you know, diplomacy and translation and things like that. But then jobs that it recommended for me were like in the medical field, things like that. And I was like, nope, you know, not for me, but good recommendation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Ikigai, Ikigai. I really recommend it.
I also want to talk about life purpose when it like transforms. Like in our last time we had our show, Makeda, I was talking about how everything I've done has really had race as a central piece of it, like the theater company, was telling African-American stories and, you know, my racial justice from the heart business, which had the curriculum. So now I'm like at this point where I am really interested in pursuing what Maladoma Somme calls building that relationship with nature, reaffirming and remembering the relationship with nature. I guess I'm at this point where I tell you this, a few years ago when I was at a retreat for the summer solstice, I believe it was summer solstice for the first time, I remember people were going around saying what their purpose or their mission was. And this woman beside me, she said her purpose was, I think, the liberation of Black people or something like that, healing and liberation of Black people. And I had already done this work on my mission, and my mission was to heal the planet. And when I said my mission in relationship to her mission, on the inside, I cringed because I was like, mine's so broad.
Really? I thought, if anything, yours sounded a little more like, holistic. Is that the word, Mom? All encompassing.
Yeah. But so even though, you know, let's say back in 2016, I think, I kind of had that reaction when I thought about my mission on a mission to heal the planet. Now I see it as I have come through this black body for a reason. Mm-hmm. And part of my mission as someone living in this body, coming through the lineage I come through, which is basically African-American lineage on both sides, from the South, I think my mission is to help evolve this whole planet's consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so what I know about race is just one piece of what I know about the lies that we live with. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's yeah. like if you come, I think if you come through black in the way that I came through being black and the way I look and the 1966 being the year of my birth, the year of black power, you can come through with a consciousness that already makes you critical of the dominant narrative and the dominant society and be able to see white supremacy, you know, clearly, right? So yeah. that's very helpful, but that's not the only lens. And I think that when we grow up urban, which I did, the lens of the natural world, the lens of questions like, how does this tree feel? How does this tree feel about me? What is that squirrel saying right now? It's like really engaging with the natural world. Yeah. Like it's in relationship to me, not just to, you know, things happening out there that have nothing to do with me. So I think when I say, okay, I'm here to help evolve this planet's consciousness, I think I'm here to help us reestablish these relationships with each other and the natural world. And that's all going to up-level our consciousness.
I can't help but agree with everything you just said. And as you say that, I can't help but also picture something that you mentioned to me. Was it you who said you had a dream about me with some children out in our backyard?
Yeah, I had a little vision.
Yes, and I was just thinking, because my part of my, I feel like, mission is just the next generation, like making sure they have the love and connection required. So my mom is saying this about being in the inner city and not being able to connect with nature. I'm sitting here thinking about my personal experience being young and her sending me out to the West Appalachian Mountains. Is that right? Oh,
wait, you were in West Virginia. You in Virginia?
Yeah. What mountains are those?
I don't know.
Oh, just the West.
Close to the Appalachian Trail, though.
Okay, that's why I said that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, anyway, it was a Virginia mountain. I was there for every summer for 6 years, something like that. And it was the reason I conversed with nature. It's the reason I still like sing to nature today. You know, it created the Snow White in me. So anyway, the point is, as you say this, I really am picturing a summer camp that you and I can do. And guys, this is how you follow your purpose.
This is. You know, I one of the things I'm in love with is helping people who I love to fulfill on their life purpose, because I think it gives me a way to be with them, to just, you know, make my love real for you. And wow. Also to help you stay on track. I hate to watch people, including me, kind of flail in a sea of anxiety and unclarity.
I'm so glad you brought this track back up, because as you were saying it, I got this clear picture in my head. So you say this crazy ride of life, and we follow our purpose, and it's a roller coaster. Yes. We zig and we zag and we plummet and we climb.
Yes.
And I think along the way, some people say, I want to get off this ride, and they stop on the track and build a bedroom. And I think because in a small room, you can control everything that happens. That's all I had to say. I don't know. Get out the bedroom if you're I was just in it like 2 months ago. It's easy. It's easy to do, but it's also easy to leave.
I think that image of the bedroom on the track is like amazing, because of course it's very dangerous to have your bedroom on a track.
Yes,
something's exactly. going to come by and knock you off of it. Or mm-hmm. also, you know what? Honestly, one of the scariest places to be in the world is inside my head. I'm so sorry. But to be inside my bedroom with just my delusional thoughts, it's actually so much less scary to be outside somewhere. But what's fun, why I call it a delusion, though, is because when you're in it, it's almost like you can't even see anything else.
No. No, because if you saw the track, I don't know, you might get anxious and want to get off of it.
What I mean is, like, if you're in that bedroom of your mind, stuck in all your anxieties and your fears and the repetitive thoughts about why people are better or why they're worse or why you're better and why you're worse. I mean, you know,
yes.
we can go through some of these. If you're stuck there, you can't see. You know what? I'll say for me, it's when I physically go outside, look up and see a big sky that I go, oh my God, mm-hmm. what the hell? There's so much out here. But I forgot because I was all inside my delusions.
That's a good example, because I would definitely say not delusions, but if I feel like I've spent all day focused, not even focused, but on technology, my eyes in there, and I could not go outside the day. I could stop and go to bed and wake up and do it again. But that break, like stepping outside, for me, I don't know if it's a sky. I think it's feeling the air, like a fresh air entering my nose. It's such a reminder of everything. And it's almost overwhelming in the best way. It's like anything is still possible out here. And maybe that's my very young brain still. But I'm like, woo, anything's possible.
I'm like, you know, a few decades older than you. And I was thinking about, somebody said at a certain age, after 40, you start realizing everything is not possible. But just in the car yesterday or something, I was like, no, anything is still possible. Anything is still possible that I want. And, you know, I don't want to be an Olympic gymnast, you know, so I don't have to worry about that, you know. But there are other exciting things that I don't know about that, you
exactly.
know, I might want to experience. So I guess what I want to say in terms of life purpose, to me, a fundamental part of it is, it is that check in with yourself about what do you love and maybe doing something like the Ikigai. I also think it's important to get out into the natural world, sit under a tree, walk by a creek, sing about your purpose, sing the question, what is my purpose? You can like play like you would when you were a little kid. Who told you you couldn't sing out loud to a tree? Who, right?
You see? Yep. No one told me. My mom was pulling over to hug sycamores on the way to school. So
it's
not me. But even, I don't know, but just being here, you hear my brain is so open to any suggestion. I'm like, I don't know. Is anything possible, Mom? And she's like, yes, anything's possible. If someone else was sitting here and said, no, once you hit 40, I think your options are pretty limited. Let's be realistic. It would be, So it's also about the people you're around, who's feeding your consciousness, and what narratives are they feeding it. Because I do think the narrative matters a lot in your brain. Yeah, when you go out and do things, what narrative you have is important.
So important. And that's getting back to the delusions again.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the narrative, like nobody loves me. We were going through our delusions the other day. And one of the things I noticed about me is one of my first top ones is nobody loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And what my brain does then is it looks for evidence that, oh, they didn't really love me. You know, whatever they did, it gives me a way to discount it.
And how does that influence your like social interactions that day?
Well, it makes them lousy because then the whole time I'm feeling alone.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the thing that Maladoma Somei says that people who are brought up in the West suffer from.
Mm-hmm.
Or people who are, quote, brought up in modern societies. We suffer from loneliness, feeling like I am all alone out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that is the biggest delusion. But we can't know it's a delusion until we tap into, you know, the natural world or use rituals to help us tap in. What were you going to say?
I was going to agree. That's why I started laughing. I was just going to say, yes, mm-hmm. Big, big delusion. Yeah. Yes. And it's so funny because I don't know, when my mom shared that delusion, I was like, yeah, I feel that way too. And the other person in the room was like, yeah, I feel that way too. And it was like, how funny is that? We are all related. Like, we all love each other. We see each other often. And yet we all suffer from this feeling. In that moment, it just felt so fabricated and silly that I was like, I will never feel alone again. I probably will, but that's how I'm feeling right now.
Yeah, that's what a delusion is. Yeah, it is truly, we, you know, and so I just highly recommend the book, The Healing Wisdom of Africa. It's really made me want to actively elder or mentor younger people and telling them how beautiful they are. Mm-hmm. Or whatever the gift is that I see in them, really sharing that honestly with them, energetically, so that they know, so that they feel seen.
And kids never forget what they're told they're good at. That's the other thing, you know? And some of them really hold on to that and make that a part of their identity. Mm-hmm. I remember I used to be the good reader when I was a kid. I read really fast. I don't read anymore, but when I do, I'm like, that was kind of fast, wasn't it? It wasn't, but it's that whole energy. You feel confident in it. So I love that for you. I'm giving you the eyes because I feel like that's part of my mission too.
Oh, is to mentor?
To highlight, to, you know, empower. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I tell my mom, I used to be so pessimistic, but the next generation is giving me so much faith that I just can't seem to find pessimism anymore. Mm. It's so sweet. Mm. Amanda.
Aminata, please.
Aminata, you say you are a queen. What does that have to do with purpose?
Ooh. First of all, I love that question. I am so owning that I'm a queen now. I don't think ever in my life before have I felt so queenly. And I do want to say that for me, plant medicines, interacting with being assisted by plants has been huge. And one of the things that someone said to me when we were journeying together, like about a year ago, she said, she said, Amanda, I said, yes. She said, stay on your throne. She said, stay on your throne. I just see this. She had this whole image of me getting off of my throne to pick up some little pieces of grass to like look at it very intently, when in fact what I needed to do was stay on the throne because that's where I have the overview, you know, or the you know how when you elevate up you get that
bird's
big
eye view.
Yes, thank you, the bird's eye view. So that has stuck with me. So I feel like I feel empowered. So when I think of myself as a queen, I feel like I'm responsible for my queendom. And I am willing to say yes and say no, meaning I'm willing to say what goes in my queendom. And my queendom is my individual energy, and my queendom is my business, you know, this podcast, the Mother Tree Network, all the programs that we do. This is my queendom, and my purpose in this queendom is to attract to me everybody who wants to elevate consciousness on this planet, who's willing to elevate their own consciousness from a spaciousness of love. It's, you know, when I'm having a hard time with something and something that wakes me up, like if I think a certain thought, like especially about my kids, I feel very protective and stuff. So if I have a horrible thought or fear come up, what I am doing now is writing it out and planting it under a tree and asking the tree, the mycelium, the earth to please transmute this and put the medicine directly into my heart. So I guess I'm just really looking to elevate, to come from this heart-centered, heart-informed, completely in relationship with the natural world situation. And to me, a queen can do that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't it feel, I love the word queen. Even, I mean, like king does nothing for me. I mean, I love that movie, The Woman King.
Yeah.
Oh, we could talk about that. I would love to talk with you about that. But, ooh, queen, it just feels like, like you said,
it feels right.
Yeah, it feels emotional. It feels holistic. It feels powerful.
It's like, and a little stoic, which I love.
Stoic?
Yeah, just a little bit, like a hint of stoicness.
Oh, so it's kind of like meaning of, you know.
Well, a queen, is not a princess.
Correct.
And I guess I would leave it at that for
why. Like, and I used, that's it. I used to be a princess. Mm-hmm. People even would sort of spontaneously say, "What's up, princess?" Or, I mean, and it's true. I was like a princess. I was like such a daughter.
You really passed that down to me. People call me that too.
People call you princess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm fragile. That's what they think.
That's what they think. And maybe that's partly what you think. But there's something about when you're a queen, you're like saying, the buck stops here. Mm-hmm. I'm responsible.
Oh.
You know, this is my shit. This is my life. You know, I may rock, but I don't fall.
I guess I was picturing the Queen of Swords tarot card. Mm-hmm. Do you know that one?
No.
That's this very specific tarot card. She's a bit of a stoic queen. Mm. But you give me Queen of Swords vibes. And Queen of Pentacles vibes.
And the swords is a mental one?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So when we were talking about life purpose, you know, I got confused for a moment. Because I always knew my life purpose was like healing the planet, just to be honest with you, because that whole 7-year-old thing. But what I was good at was academia, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So then I went to graduate school, as you know from that episode we did a couple years ago, and I really got disenchanted.
Yeah.
But I also, before I stepped out of academia, I was in academia for 10 years, but before I stepped out, I realized that, oh, I was really only that deeply in it because I was good at it and because it was a career path.
Mm-hmm.
And my other, I didn't know how else I could express this desire to heal the planet. And that's what's so great about being an entrepreneur now, honestly, is I get to create podcasts, programs that help to do that.
I'm curious because I'll just ask. Was it hard making the leap from academia to entrepreneur, especially because of your financial background, how you came up? You just know there's not a lot of safety nets there. So what was that like? What was the fear battling like? And did you know it was your purpose to leave? All of that.
Yeah. When I took that transition year at the Quaker Retreat Center.
Oh.
And that's where I really kind of got more community. Actually, to support me in saying, I'm on a mission to heal the planet.
We see your purpose.
And we see your purpose, and we see you have this capacity as a theater artist, as a writer, and as a performer and creative, you know, performances about African-American history. We see that, and we honor it. So that was how I made the transition from academia was into the theater company, which is a startup. But it's a startup on a nonprofit basis. And then I moved from the theater company to like making my own for-profit company. And was it scary? Yes, every step of the way. I have never cried as many tears as I did when I made that transition from academia to theater.
And at that point, I didn't know this was then, you had a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, right?
Yeah.
That is just, woo.
Six and eight. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It was scary, and it's a ride. It is a ride, and I think that, but the thing that sustains you through the ride is the purpose and community. Like what Maladoma is saying. He's saying you need ritual, community, and nature.
Just listen to Maladoma, people. Come on. Oh, my gosh. If you were gifted by a genie one chance to go back in time and speak to old Amanda, and she could see you face to face, you could really look at her, you could even touch her if you wanted to, what would you say?
I would say, Amanda, you are no better than anyone else, and you are no worse than anyone else. Everyone out here is loved and is on a ride. So what's most important is to stay authentic and attuned with your heart all the time. And every decision I make, where I make that the thing, surprising, wonderful things have unfolded.
That's funny. And it's probably a surprise because the narrative in your head, it was hard to picture any wonderful things coming from getting on the roller coaster. Yeah, that's what happens when you get in that room on the tracks.
Get outside, get to community or to a mentor, you know, who can see your gifts.
Yeah. So how do you suggest that other folks go about remembering their life purpose?
One of the most important things I think you can do is to maybe be part. I don't know if I'll organize this, but I think if you could be part of a retreat or something where you just get to pull back a little bit and really remember what gives you pleasure or makes you feel excited. And I think that retreat should have engagement with the natural world and talking to the crow. Like, there's been a few times when crows have shown up for me.
I, too, have spoken to crows. The crows, they watch the kids on my playground play. They come and sit and watch. So I look at them and I say, you know, these kids aren't dinner.
Very good. Very good. You just want to be clear because you're the guardian.
Yes.
So, you know, let the lady who's the protector step up. Let her step up. Crows, in a lot of traditions, crows also represent universal law and a higher order.
They always seem so wise, very smart. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, they seem wise and I want to say kind of aggressive. Like, mm-hmm. They're loud.
Agreed. One crow can really, bah, bah. And it's like, hello, what do you want? That's what I always say, like, hi, what can I do for you?
Well, that is a great question. You know, I have this friend. I said to her, you know, you live your life like everything is a miracle. You know, she's like, and the miracle of this and the miracle of that. And I, this happened at a time when I was feeling kind of dry. And yeah. I was like, oh, I want to live like her.
Oh.
And actually, that's one of the reasons why, if you look at my office now, I totally changed things around. Because I wanted my desk to be like a temple and like have an altar. And so like my work for my business is like part of my sacred work.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I love that. It's not looking very altery in here right now.
Okay, it is a little junky, but that is...
Only on the side that I'm looking at. I just turned my head here. I see some nice...
You see the altar side.
Pictures and spirit trees and things.
Yes, spirit trees. And so what do I suggest you do? So I suggest that you do some kind of retreat. It doesn't have to be, you know, a long, long time, but some kind of retreat. And I suggest that part of your retreat or part of your process be that you will consult with, you know, a couple of trusted people. Maybe it's one person, maybe it's two or three, but trusted about your gifts and, you know, anything underlying everything that you do, you know, even if it's a different action, but underlying it, they're like, no, I see a common thread in you. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. Don't just trust your own pair of eyes to tell you what your gifts are, because you have lots of narratives running through your head. Everyone's different. So it's great to hear from other people who you can see with a fresh set of eyes.
Yes. Yes. So I think that's really what I want to say. So this whole, we're recording this today on Nia, the fifth day of Kwanzaa. So I at this moment, I want to say thank you to Maulana Karenga and the organization, I think it was called US, for creating Kwanzaa. It's given us something to focus on that feels Afrocentric, but also that is, you know, wise for anyone. Yes. Anyone could tap into right now, whatever your background is, you can tap into Nia and ask for assistance from your ancestors, you know, biological, spiritual, intellectual, cultural ancestors, whoever you choose, you know, your tree ancestors to help you.
Yeah. I've learned because sometimes I feel silly doing things like speaking to my angels, ancestors, praying. Sometimes it feels real, but other times it doesn't. And I've really learned that it never hurts to ask, because I've gotten most of my prayers answered. Most of my angel conversations have resulted in some kind of change that I've asked for. It's really, I'm just saying, I guess it never hurts to ask. Even if it feels kind of uncomfortable or weird, just ask. Who knows? Maybe there's an angel right on your shoulder listening to you. You never know.
Well, again, Maladoma Sobe.
He would tell you
that. He would say that, yes. There is. There's many.
And I'm sure your audience knows this too, but it never hurts to say.
Well, you know, here we are in the Mother Tree Network. You know, with our Kwanzaa situation right now. And 2 weeks ago, we did our winter solstice. So what I want to say is that all of these national or international moments are opportunities for us to up-level our consciousness, to ride the wave of the energy of something. Mm-hmm. To get you somewhere. So you don't like have to generate everything by yourself is what I'm saying. One of the things I've definitely learned is follow the energy that resonates with you already. What is it already doing? What's already coming up? And honestly, if you're interested in doing some kind of like micro retreat process on remembering your life purpose, let me know. Just send an email to Amanda at dramandakemp.com or, you know, comment on our, write a review. That'll help. And put it in the review. All right. Love you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Makeda. You did a great job.
Of course, Aminata. It's so nice to see you.
Ooh. Now we both have African names. I'm Aminata.
Makeda.
Oh. Saying goodbye.
Bye.